You're listening to a Mash Those Buttons podcast, brought to you ad-free with the support of our patrons. Visit mashthosebuttons.com or stay tuned after the show for more details.
Hello, and welcome to the Torn and the Goblin, a Mash Those Buttons podcast about Warcraft story and lore. My name is Nick Zelenkevich, and I'm Gragthar, Torn Hunter on Skywall US. And this is a follow-up to the episode that I recorded earlier with Jin from Morley Gray. He and I talked about a lot of stuff, podcasting and alts and our characters' histories and some stuff. And then finally, as we were wrapping up, we finally got into talking about Shadowlands lore and Shadows Rising spoilers. And so I'm just going to come out and say right now, big spoiler warning for what we're going to talk about. Here's all the spoilers. You know, here's some stuff we've seen in the alpha and what we've heard about the alpha. If you haven't finished Shadows Rising, we haven't finished it either at this point. So I don't know if we get into too many spoilers for that, but still, if you want to avoid that until you've read the book, this would be your opportunity to punch out. So, go ahead. We're going to kick it off here with me and Jin talking about some Shadows Rising spoilers, and let's get going with that. I was going to ask you about Shadows Rising and Shadowlands and everything with that. So what are you most looking forward to in the book or in the game to come? What questions do you still have here?
Honestly, with Shadows Rising, the thing that I'm really looking forward to the most is I just want to know, how did we get? Because I mean, obviously that's my big thing is how did we get from here to here? That's my thing. So I want to know, how did we go from Sylvanas going whoop bye to her ripping the helm in half? Like I just want to know, what are those pieces? What are those connecting pieces? So I just want to know all about that. Obviously, a little spoiler. Flynn and Shaw confirmed. So that'll be a fun little romance to see.
Okay. Now I'll admit here, I didn't see that coming, and maybe I just wasn't paying too much attention to Flynn and Shaw. And I feel like maybe we should apologize. Allie's in the chat. I don't know if she wants to hear about this, but.
Yeah, sorry, Allie. Your boyfriend has been spoken for.
But he, apparently, I guess there were a few lines of dialogue between the two of them or something. And I'm like, I did play some of the Alliance quests.
Yeah, it wasn't between the two of them. It was very subtle. But when you complete the war campaign and Tyrande was like, I ain't signing your paper. Get that paper out of my face. And she storms off. And you can kind of hang out in the whole little, like the ambassador hut, you know, where all the factions are. I think you stand next to Varisa and Shaw, where she's like, oh, what are you going to do next? Now the war is over, you know, they get to pretend that the war is over. And he's like, well, you know, I might find a quiet little place. And, you know, she's like, well, you're just going to go by yourself. He's like, no, there's a certain someone I was going to spend some time with. So like I said, very subtle.
But were we supposed to know that was Flynn that he was talking about?
I don't think you were supposed to know, but with all of the speculation and some of the stuff that going on, especially because there was a couple times when I think the two of them were together, in some of the missions, and there's a little bit of banter between them.
They infiltrate D'Zara Lore before the raid or whatever.
Yeah.
That you're with the two of them.
Yep. I would need to rerun it again, and I've already done those quests on my one character, so. So the odds of me doing that, slim to none. I just remember seeing that little conversation between him and Varisa, and I was like, I know who you're talking about, buddy. I know who you're talking about. You don't even hide it. I think the reason too is because he was being very I'm not telling you who this is. You know, maybe a little I don't know how anyone would take this, but no, it was awesome. Cause apparently it's if you do listen to the latest episode of Lore Watch, they do get pretty heavy in the spoilers of the book. Cause both of them had read it, and I'm really looking forward to it. Cause they actually mentioned that this book really doesn't really deal much with Sylvanas at all. Cause Sylvanas is Sylvanas is kind of the main character, because everything that's going on in the book is effectively, you know, all has to do with what Sylvanas did. Like everyone's actions are tied directly to what Sylvanas is doing. And even though she's barely ever, even in the book, and that's one of the things, she's barely even there, her presence is constantly felt. And so
she's conspicuous by her absence. Yeah,
and everyone has kind of paired up. They're all kind of like they're, you know, it's Nathanos and Sera Moonwarden. They're kind of going off on their little fun adventures. And then there's Talanji and Buonsamdi hanging out. They're like, hey, how you doing? You're my Loa now, I suppose. Right? Got to come to grips with that. And then there's Shaw and Flynn. Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, and then there's also Tyrallian and Ilaria, obviously. And that's actually what I'm really looking forward to, because they were being very coy about it. They weren't saying anything, because it would have been very spoiler heavily. But basically what they were talking about is, well, you know how Tyrallian's wife is super duper heavy into the void now, and Tyrallian is super not. Well, let's just say the two of them may have come to an agreement a little bit and have kind of, you know, maybe had some fun there. So I'm very interested to see where Tyrallian let's just say they take some actions that you wouldn't think the Boy Scout Tyrallian would be okay with, is what I'm understanding.
Wait. Okay, see, I'm trying to figure out which way you're going, because I would have thought that, you know, being the void and the light, that maybe they're like, okay, well, yeah, but they've been together for so long, it wouldn't really matter. Like, I can't imagine that they'd like, be like, okay, we need to go our separate ways just because, like, we're literally infused with opposing forces. But
well, they actually apparently.
Let me just say, I mean, it's obvious by now for anybody listening, we're way into spoiler territory. So if you punch out now, you probably should have punched out like 10 minutes ago. But are you implying that, like, the prophesized child of the void and the light, is that kind of where they're, you know, everybody said it would be Arator, but Arator was really kind of made before Ilaria was of the void?
No, I'm not saying, it doesn't sound like anything like that. It's just, okay, while they're on their mission to hunt down Sylvanas, they are in a position where they have to make a choice. And Tyrallian, from what I gleaned from their conversation, I think they didn't actually go into it, and I haven't read it. They basically is Tuesday. Looking forward to it. he basically is like, all right, fine, we'll do it your way. I'm okay with this. And so he's kind of embracing a little bit of the void there, from what I can kind of understand.
He's coming to terms with the personality changes that his wife has gone through as she goes through these changes later.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing that's nice. I mean, Tyrallian had the character flaw, in my opinion, a little bit in Before the Storm, where he, you know, because Anduin was like, hey, there's still people, even though they're rotting corpses, there's still a person in there. And Tyrallian was like, I don't want none of that.
Yeah.
So there's some growth there. I mean, for someone who has been very static and doing the exact same thing for 1,000 years of smashing demons with the light, and then he's like, okay, that's over now. Now what? So it's nice that Mr. One Note is finally has a little bit of character growth, because, you know, Tyrallian is actually a really interesting character in the Second War, because he goes from this super not like sure of himself person to, well, Lothar's dead now, I need to pick up the mantle and lead the way. So like that character growth was awesome to see. So now that he became, the guy who swings a sword at Illidan saying you've doomed us all, right? Like I said, Mr. One Note. It's nice to see that maybe there's a little bit of change, a little bit of growth there. So I think that's, from what I heard, I think that's what I'm most looking forward to, is seeing that almost toxic couple come to terms of each other. What was it in the I think when they actually touched each other in 1,000 Years of War, didn't they like almost basically create another, you know, colliding of the void and the light?
Yeah, that's why I was confused about it. It seemed like they still can't touch each other. I guess they need what is it, like the full body prophylactic from the Naked Gun movies.
I was going more with like the Demolition Man where they put the headset on.
Oh yeah, yeah. Yes.
Yeah, that'll work. Yeah, that works.
Well, it's interesting though. You talk about Turalyon being so one note for so long because like Illidan, you know, his whole thing is, you know, the light is holding you back. And I know he says that to Velen, but I think Turalyon's the perfect example of that because he goes through all this growth, you know, in, you know, the Second War, and then he's off for 1,000 years, but he's working with the light. And I mean, he's doing what he needs to be doing. So, I mean, not to fault him, but because the light is there, this omnipresent force, it's almost like it stunts him in a way.
Yeah.
And now it's like he's now that he's out from under that, he's finally got to figure out that he's out from under that and he can start growing again and being his own, you know, stand on his own. Cause the light's not, I mean, he still has the light, I guess, not to, but like Zira is not there to really kind of,
yeah, keep him. I think that's what I've been enjoying the most in the recent expansions. Cause they definitely didn't do this in, early on in Warcraft. Early on it was light good, void bad, right? It was very static. There was no morally gray areas. now I think it's pretty cool that they've gone down the path of, hey, this whole light thing and this void thing, there is no inherent morality attached to them. They're just cosmic forces. They're not actually, you know, they're not bad, nor are they good. You can't, like, on the whole scale of goodness to badness, I mean, would you call a hammer good or bad? Like, they're just tools almost. They're just things. So that's kind of where I've really been enjoying it. It's kind of like it's one of the reasons why one of my favorite quest lines in Legion was when you're hanging out with the Locust Walker. I'm really digging where they're kind of going, and hopefully Taliesin and Evitel is right and they do get their cosmic super crazy void versus light, like jumping around the universe expansion. I'm down for that. That sounds awesome.
I think you kind of look at the way the story's going, and I mean they gave us a showdown with Sargeras more or less, and then they kind of shelved them, left them around, so he's still there, but they shelved them, and it feels like like the creative team really, I guess it was probably when they sat down to do the Chronicle books, but it feels like they sat down and they really hashed out the lore, and they're like, okay, this is where we're going for the next few expansions. I know they work 3 expansions ahead, but I'm sure they have ideas beyond that, like, and here's an idea, you know, here's the general idea. You know, 5 expansions from now, you know, here's sort of the thing. Because, I mean, Sargeras was in the background for so long, like, as that omnipresent threat. And I think I even fell into the trap of thinking, like, oh, he may still be, like, the final big bad of World of Warcraft, assuming it ever has a final big bad. But I think that's kind of, they're like, oh, no, let's massage this idea of the light and the void and really kind of play with it a little bit and get more into the, you know, sort of the character aspect of it, that, yeah, you can touch the light, you can touch the void, you can still be good, you can still be bad. Morality is independent of these supernatural forces.
Yeah. So, yeah, that is definitely where I am most looking forward to see where this story is going. I mean, probably not much of a shocker for anyone. My podcast is named Morally Gray, so... So, obviously, I enjoy that aspect of it. Because, yeah, is Sylvanas a gray character? No. In my opinion, no.
More of a light blue.
She's more of a light blue. I agree with that. No, she does some super evil things. So there's nothing really morally gray there. I mean, there's a reason why we call characters Machiavellian. They, you know, ends justify the means. To her, ends clearly are justifying the means. I'm sure she has an ends. I'm sure there's a reason for everything she's doing. I don't actually think she's the quote unquote chaotic evil, just, you know, Saturday morning cartoon bad guy just, you know, wanting to kill for killing's sake. No, I'm sure there's a reason, even if that's, in my opinion, not good enough. You know what I mean? Wow. It's hard to justify some of her actions. So, and I don't think you can, and I'm okay with that. It's interesting storytelling nonetheless.
I think that could very well be what Shadowlands hinges on as far as how it's received, is at some point we're going to have to get the exposition of, like, this is why Sylvanas has been acting this way since Legion, basically. and, you know, and this is her plan and her reason, and everything's going to have to fit together. We know the jailer is a big part of that, but depending on how they do that, you know, if they do it in one of like the full scale cinematics, like I can't imagine they do it in just like a throwaway quest in like the mall or something. Like you didn't read the quest text, you missed the whole big explanation. Like there's got to be a big moment of like oomph where it all hits. I can't imagine they put it in a book because it'd be too integral to the story that we have to get, like we have to get one of those major cinematics that has to explain that. If it lands properly, I feel like in a way it can almost redeem BFA for some of the complaints people had about BFA, because it'll make BFA make more sense in hindsight. And it, you know, like her whole arc, this three expansion arc could fit together. And I'm confident that they have the ability to nail it. It's just a question of like, will they? Because, you know, they have to, you know, we have to see them take the swing at it. But
yeah,
and if that misses, I feel like then everybody's gonna look at Shadowlands and be like, it didn't hit right, and it's all gonna, I feel like then everybody's gonna complain, and it all hinges on that one thing. If they nail that, I think the expansion will be fine.
Yeah, and I think the one wish, like if I had a magic wand, a wish, the one thing that I truly want, and I'm gonna say that, is going to be Chronicle Volume 4. Now, there's a reason why I want, and there's one little reason why I want Chronicle Volume 4. Can someone please explain to me what the heck was actually happening in that Argus raid? Does anyone have any idea what was actually happening there? It was like, oh, we're doing this, and then there's Verimothris, and oh my gosh, what are you doing here? And then there's all these crazy things. Oh, and then there's, wait, there's the Titan spirits. What the heck is going on? What is happening? And then you go fight the soul of a world, Argus. You fight Argus the Unmaker, and then they do the tractor beam on Sargeras, and you're like, wait, why didn't you just do that? Like, what? Wait, what? What just happened? that's what I want to know.
I mean, I remember seeing the cinematic on YouTube, and I'm like, okay, at some point they're gonna have to, like, there's got to be like a leading cinematic that shows like Sargeras becoming a cloud and like enveloping Azeroth, and no, he's just there. Like, I guess like you can see through, like there's parts where you can like see Azeroth, like, yep, and he's around it. But like, I want to see it. Like, we're off on Argus. I get that. What was happening on Azeroth while Argus is enveloping the planet in a cloud? Like, is everybody just like, oh, it's, you know, overcast today, you know, stay inside.
Like, yeah. I just, you know, like, it's a cloudy with a chance of swords coming through. So let this.
Well, I wonder too, because I mean, the one obvious problem with like Chronicle 4 is that, is there enough in the game to justify a Volume 4? Like, at what point are they going to feel like, okay, we can actually go ahead and,
well, I mean,
you know, have enough content?
I have a perfect explanation for how you do it. It's, we just give Pyromancer his wish, and we have it from the other narration. Like, basically, okay,
yes,
Chronicle Volume 1, 2, and 3 was all from the perspective of the Titans. And now the fourth one is a perspective of, you know, maybe Sargeras. It's like, this is what I was actually doing. It might be interesting. So,
see, if they're going to do that, though, they should do something like, because it's from a different perspective, it should be like Chronicle Volume A.
Yeah, Chronicle Volume 1.5 or Chronicle Volume 1 Appendix. It's like the U.S. code where it's like U.S. code 1.13.
Exactly.
Well, if they ever retcon any of the early story, that's what my episode numbers are going to be. It's going to be episode 1.5, episode 2.3, episode 2.445. Yeah, because I'm assuming they're going to explain more, because right now it's kind of vague, kind of not a lot there, because I don't know. But yeah, that's what I said. That is my number one wish. I want someone to write down and actually explain WTF happened in that Legion raid. Because, like, how did the Titans even get, like, where did he get them?
And
I don't know.
I mean, especially with respect to the Titans, that expansion was a bit of, like, it messes with your mind, because you go in thinking, like, okay, the Titans are fine. Then we find out, oh, no, the Titans are dead. But it's like, oh, I guess they're not really dead. They're, like, essences that are still floating around somehow. So, like, and now they're back. So we started thinking they were okay, and we ended thinking they were okay, but it was a journey to get there.
So, I mean, this is the thing we find out in Chronicle is like, oh, well, they made their way in, their spirits, like, made their way, and they were living within the keepers on the planet. Well, when did he hoover them out of those keepers? Like, that's...
and this is something I wonder, maybe we'll get more of this in Shadowlands, is, like, you look at, like, Arthas, and it's like, okay, part of him is in the sword, but, like, there's essences of him, like, the Matthias, or Matthias Lerner, or whatever, like, the little quest with the kid in the heart thing.
Oh, yeah, that's, like, that's a great quest.
Like, there's fragments of the, like, it's almost like when you die, there's not, like, you're just... there's fragments of you. I don't know. Like, is there an actual sum? Like, you can actually, like, it's split into a finite number of parts. Or are you, like, is, like, your soul some sort of, like, is it infinitely divisible that it can be pulled around?
So, well, like, I mean, clearly anima, you know, is a resource, and anima comes from a soul. So maybe,
yeah.
The answer is maybe. But if we're going to find out any of that stuff, my guess is it's all going to come down to that rune forger dude that's stuck in a thing, and he's the one that was like, oh, you mean the Helm of Domination? I made that all the way back in 1963. It was a good old time, and then some jackwagon came over and stole it from me, and then he gave it to a guy named Kilt Jaden, and Kilt Jaden put an orc in it, and it was really weird.
Well, there's a lot of stuff that he's attributed to. Like, what is it? The Maw of the Damned, the one Death Knight weapon?
Yeah.
And then... There's so it's,
yeah. What was it? Well, I think one of the Death Knight weapons was apparently crafted from one of the worlds that was destroyed when the Titans fought. You know, apparently they were right next door to a planet when Sargeras fought the rest of the Pantheon, and casually destroyed a world, and they're like, oh,
I think that was Apocalypse. The green speck. That's I know the Death Knights by this color. the green unholy.
Yeah, there you go. Unholy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, that's interesting that you're just that planet is now just a husk that you create weapons out of now. Neat. Yeah. I mean, that's pretty much what I'm thinking is gonna. But then again, I don't know. I'm surprised they came up with as much lore as they did with all of the artifact weapons. So I mean, I was digging through and looking through some of them, and it's like, ugh, I don't know. Okay, that came from what? I clearly missed a lot of them when we were talking about, like, the origin of some of them through in some of these early episodes. But, you know, I definitely wasn't going to hit them all. I know that. Because I know where Ashbringer comes from. So there's that. I won't miss that one.
No.
Yeah. It's got a whole comic about it. So, yeah. Speaking of that, and we're still in spoiler territory, that's another thing I'm super excited about, is Alexandros Mograine is going to be helping us out in the Maw. Yes. That's super exciting for me. I'm like, ooh, Alexandros Mograine. We're going to find out what happened with him. Well, I mean, we know what happened to him. I just want to know what happened to him and after the fact. Like, what's he doing in the Maw? Because that's another fun question. It's like, what the heck are you doing in the Maw? If you were this, like, super duper awesome righteous champion, that your son kind of went boop 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 boop, killed you. Well, why? What you doing in the Maw? I mean, don't you think you should be in Bastion or something? At least something, like, not the Maw. You're not.
Well, doesn't Darien come into the Maw with us?
Yeah, he does.
So there's got to be. I mean, and that's going to be interesting because now Darien is literally in his father's shoes, basically.
Yeah, I want to. Another great one is I want to see if Renault Mograine is also in the Maw, and he's just like going, brah, brah, brah. I'm going to prevent you from doing all the things because I'm still jealous of you, Darien.
Ooh.
Yeah. I like the whole Mograine thing. Mograine's awesome. So I'm definitely looking forward to all that good stuff. So, yeah, I think, oh, geez, there's too many good things. Too many good things that I'm looking forward to. Like Kael'thas. Kael'thas is a good one. I want to know what's going on with Revendreth.
I heard there's some good data mined dialogue from him in today's build.
Mm.
I haven't heard the dialogue. I just know people were saying it was good.
Yeah, I haven't heard that yet either. And then obviously another great one that I'm really looking forward to is what's going on with Ysera. That one looks.
I've heard she
over there right now.
I heard she's the last person to see the Arbiter before everything breaks.
I could see that.
when we're investigating why the machine of death is broken, she's like witness. You know, she's the last person who saw everything, you know, at whatever time before the murder.
That does make sense because that was you know, going back to Madeline Rue and the interview, that was actually one of the questions I asked her was, I was like, hey, when Gen broke that lantern, is that what kicked this whole thing off? And she's like, I ain't telling you.
You know, you asked that, and I was like, I never thought of that.
Because, I mean,
and then I'm trying to, like, piece it together.
Yeah, it really lines up with the timeline if you're saying that Ysera was one of the last ones, because supposedly,
right,
Valshara was, canonically, the zones. I think it went, like, you know, the one with Ashara, Azuna, yeah. And then you go to Valshara, and then supposedly you go to Stormheim next, is the way the story is supposed to go. Because then, right there, that's where, again, he's like, Giovanni, break a plato. Like, it definitely did seem awfully convenient, and like, she's like, no, I'm going to use this to get a year. And then Gen was like, give me that. I break it. And then she was probably thinking, haha, I wanted to do that the whole time. But then again, if she really wanted to do that the whole time, why didn't she just do it? I don't know.
Well, the thing weird. Is, I wonder, well, it might be the kind of thing, like, maybe she couldn't do it.
Yeah, maybe.
Or maybe whoever, because she got that from Helya, maybe Helya, you know, that's what she knew. If I give this to you, then he'll do that. Like, who knows how Machiavellian this all gets. And
who knows?
You know,
because it's like, if she really wanted that to happen, why didn't she just do it herself? But at the same time, it's like, supposedly when she first spoke to the jailer was, you know, during the events of Edge of Night where she killed herself. That's where she first, like, was, you know, first got in contact with the Valkyr, where the Valkyr were like, no, seriously, we don't like Bolvar anymore. We want to hang out with you. and maybe that's when the jailer got in contact, where all this stuff kind of started happening. I don't actually know. Again, we need our Chronicle Volume 4. Thanks, Blizz. Give me the answers.
And we know they're the Dark Kyrian or whatever.
The Forsworn, I believe is what they're called.
Yeah. And so now I'm wondering, like, is it possible that, like, maybe, like, the Kyrian or the Valkyr that Sylvanas had working with her, maybe they're not, like, proper, they weren't proper Valkyr. They were, like, maybe somehow the Forsworn or something. There's a lot we got to learn.
There is a lot we got to learn. It's... Oh my gosh. No, there's a ton of stuff that I'm just like, I don't know. I want to know. Let me know. I think that's the funny thing that I have alpha access, but I haven't played any of the zones yet. So I don't actually know, like, much of the story other than, like, little tidbits like, oh, yes, Sarah, there's a thing that happens and there's pods involved, like, whatever. But the one thing that I find very interesting that I'm very curious to know what happens there is the, Within Maldraxxus, I don't know if there's any, like, serious story points or anything like that, where it's like, oh my gosh, like, this is happening, like, where, like, severe impacts to, you know, what's happening in Shadowlands. But everyone, like, a lot of people are saying, like, yeah, but the story is freaking awesome because Draka's amazing and all this stuff. It's like, so I'm like, I wonder if it does. Because, I mean, obviously, I do know, and okay, we're still in spoiler territory. There is the whole Maldraxxus was invading Bastion kind of thing. So it's like, clearly there's something overarching. There's something going on. My assumption there was they're like, well, you know, might makes right, and we're running low on anima, so we're going to go take it from Bastion. That's kind of my assumption of what they're doing there.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the anima shortage is kind of the easy thing to look to and just be like, that's going to cause a lot of problems everywhere. And Once you start to get that all sorted out, and then everybody can kind of get back on the same page, and then now you've got the four zones, they're all united, we all know who the threat is, and now we can all work together. And yeah, you know,
and then the one last final thread that I guess I can mention is, what the heck is the jailer talking about when he's like, oh, it responds to you just like one of the first ones. What the?
Yes.
What are the first ones?
That's, oh.
Where you're like, yeah, because, you know, if you don't know, super spoilery here, when you first go into the Shadowlands, you got to run through and you're saving a bunch of people that got abducted by Sylvanas' forces. And what's happening is you're running through, you pick up Jaina, you pick up Thrall, you pick up Bane. I think those are the ones that mostly got picked up. There may be somebody else that you also picked up. And then you also have to get the heck out of there because the jailer is like, all right, I'm sick of this. I'm going to go get you. We're going to toss you in Torghast and torment you forever or something like that. And then, no, you run to this little waypoint and it actually activates where it's never activated for anybody else. Doesn't activate for Jaina, doesn't activate for Thrall. It just activates for you, the Maw Walker. Blah, blah, blah.
That makes sense.
Then you're like, oh, that's intriguing. So who the heck are the first ones? That's what I want to know. Yeah.
Well, they're somehow tied into the, what is it? The hooded figures on the dark portal, supposedly, or at least that's the speculation that somehow they connect to that. Cause
I just assumed the hooded figures on the dark portal were just spooky. I mean, it's just like, I mean,
the one on the left is spooky. The one on the right is spooky.
If you look at the early days in Warcraft 1, they had the whole Necrolite class where they were just basically crazy necromancers. So I was like, yeah, they're Necrolites. That's what they probably are.
Well, that's,
yeah.
Well, I guess that's kind of what we're getting into is like Maldraxxus is the source of their power. And so,
yeah, that's a good point. It's true.
Yeah. So it's I feel like maybe I should be worried about this expansion. I don't think I've seen as much potential for like an explanation of the lore or like a reexamining of the lore since Warlords of Draenor, when it's like, oh, we're going to go back and we're going to see Draenor before everything and we're going to get everything kind of broken down and it's going to be great. And then, that's not the story they wanted to tell. And so now it's like, okay, there's a ton of stuff here that really it's like the other side, like the if you look at like the WoW lore, it's like we've seen like one side of an iceberg and it's not quite like the same depth of an iceberg. Like I'm not saying like 90% of this is underwater, but there's a good chunk of this that we haven't seen before that, okay, it's like, this is going to flesh out and make a lot more things make sense. And maybe they're just gonna be like, yeah, that's not the story we're telling.
Yeah, I'm super down for what the story is they're telling. The only thing that I'm a little like, oh man, is after that little their little live stream today, I was like, I really am gonna have to play my alts, aren't I?
Oh yeah.
Like it was like Legion, I kind of was like, I'll watch a YouTube video because there was like 13 of them, and I was like, I'm not doing that. I'm like, I'll do that when I podcast about it. but at least the Shadowlands are like, okay, it's not 13, it's 4. I'm like, okay, I think I can handle 4. So I did manage two in Battle for Azeroth. I actually finally did play a Demon Hunter. So there you go. Yeah. So I'm super excited for that. Especially the little threads, the little story beats of where everything's kind of going, especially Uther is apparently supposedly like somehow maybe possibly aligned with the Forsworn and Bastion, because he's like, yeah, I don't really understand why we would want to give up who we were as mortals just to become a Kyrian. Like
that,
yeah, it seems a little brainwashy.
Tragic. Yeah, I'm not looking forward to like playing through that because it's almost like we're gonna have to watch Uther die again.
Almost.
And it's like, that's
Blue Uther, he's gonna die. Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm super looking forward to that. So my paladin's probably gonna have to roll up there in a Bastion to hear that story, because my warrior was not gonna be part of Bastion. He's gonna be like, you guys are weird. I'm gonna go hang out in Maldraxxus.
Right.
Because that's where he belongs. And then my hunters are like gonna probably be like, you guys are all weird. I'm gonna go hang out with my Night Fae, turn into a unicorn. And then probably the Demon Hunter is probably going to hang out in with the Edge Lords.
Sounds about right.
It's like, I turn into a demon and I do things. It's like, yeah, you can hang out with the vampires. That seems right. I mean, she is a blood elf, so there you go. Makes sense. Yeah, seems like all the Venthyr seem like blood elves anyways.
Right. And it's even kind of got their like color scheme.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah. I think that is all I can think about when it comes to what I'm super looking forward to. I mean, between the book, really looking forward to that. But that's just going to tie into where we got to with Sylvanas getting up to the Ice Crown. Right. So that's just going to be that little tie-in. What the heck is happening once that we go through? That's where I want to know. Because obviously we know a little bit of like the story with the jailer, but it's like, okay, what is the jailer's plan? What is he up to? What's all that? And yeah, I think they're actually doing, like, because I think a long time ago, back when we did a little special episode called the Council of Beer's Fall, was a fun one. My big thing was, I was like, I don't know how they're going to make this feel like there's any kind of stakes. Like, how are they going to make it feel like there's any kind of sense of urgency? I mean, you're in the afterworld. You're in the afterlife. You're dead anyways. I'll get to that when I feel like it. But yeah, I mean, because that's the thing. It's like, the Shadowlands feels like something where, and maybe something will confirm this later, I don't really know, but it doesn't actually feel like a true, permanent, forever, eternal afterlife, if you know what I mean. It's like, with the anima and this like that, it feels like, yeah, you can fade into the oblivion, the void, the nothingness. That is a possibility, because it's like, well, then will. Then why are we killing these mobs if they're just going to respawn? Oh, wait, they definitely do respawn. But yeah.
That's
all I can think of.
Yeah.
I'm all tapped out.
Good. Well, we've certainly gone for a while here. So let's go ahead. Let's go ahead and wrap this up here. Thank you, Jin, for coming on. It was a very good discussion.
Yeah, anytime. Yeah, and bring Katie on next time if you.
Yeah, I know. I'm sad that she couldn't make it for that. Although then we would have gone for like three.
That's
hours.
Okay. So. If we went for 3 hours, you could take like a whole month off. It'd be great.
Exactly. So. Thank you to Jarrett for producing, and thank you to Kurabara for editing. Thank you, everybody, in the chat room. We had the Grand Nagus and Ali and Aiton and Bristlerich, Commander Root, Electrical Longboard, Feet, Frasley, Harlow, and Morley Gray Pod. That's you.
That's me.
And thank you, everybody at home, for downloading and listening. We are at Torn Goblin on Twitter, also at the MASH Network. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/mashthosebuttons, also on YouTube at youtube.com/mashthosebuttons. Katie's not here. People can find her at HyruleMaster77 on Twitter. Jin, where can people find you?
You can find me pretty much everywhere that you would like to find me, and you just search for Morley Gray Pod, and that's gray spelled with an E, in case you're curious. Not the A. That's the peasant way of spelling it.
I meant to ask about that, but I'm glad you answered.
Yeah.
And I am at WookieBH on Twitter. You know, one other thing is, in your interview, Madeline mentioned she's a big Ewok fan, and I was like, oh, not Wookiees.
They're just big Ewoks.
But
that live
I am at WookieBH on Twitter. You can also find me on WoW Talk here on the Mash Those Buttons Network, where we talk about World of Warcraft news and community stuff, and also on the Mash Those Buttons show, where Jarrett and I talk about gaming news and what's going on in the gaming community. Join the Mash Those Buttons community on Discord at discord.me/mashthosebuttons and email us any thoughts or questions at torngoblin@mash.gg. Let us know what you're looking forward to in Shadowlands and Shadows Rising. And let us know, because I think by the time we have our next episode, Shadows Rising will be out. Let us know what your thoughts are on that, and we'll be sure to read them after we've read the book ourselves. If you enjoyed this episode and would like to help us out, please share it and rate it if you can. And if you would like to support Mash Those Buttons, please check out our Patreon at patreon.com/mashthosebuttons. You can help support Mash Those Buttons and all our great podcasts for as little as $1 a month and gain access to patron-exclusive content. Also, for those in the chat room, please consider a Twitch subscription if you can. And stay tuned to hear about our other shows on the Mash Those Buttons Network. Our next episode is scheduled to record live at 10:30 p.m. Eastern on 7/22. That will be episode 100. So we're going to have to figure out something for that, because that's not something you do every day. But yeah, so come hang out in the chat room. We'll see what we've got in store for that. And but do keep an eye on Twitter in case there's any updates if we need to reschedule for anything. For Katie, who's not here, for Jin, I'm Nick. Ancestors watch over you.
Ah, I'm a dwarf. We don't have catchphrases.
Thanks for listening to a Mash Those Buttons production. If you enjoyed the show, you should check out mashthosebuttons.com and see if any of our other shows might interest you. All of our shows are available on your podcast platform of choice, like Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more. If you enjoy our content, you can help support Mash Those Buttons by becoming a patron at patreon.com/mashthosebuttons, where you can receive Patreon bonuses for as little as $1 a month. You can connect with Mash Those Buttons at twitter.com/themashnetwork, facebook.com/mashthosebuttons, or join our Discord at mash.gg/discord.